As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon here with you on this Monday morning, Cinco de Mayo, 9:04 a.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. Abe, how are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Had an okay weekend. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. May is here. The weather was okay on Saturday. It was really nice yesterday. A bit cooler this morning, but
I had to break the coat back out. I was surprised.
I didn't go coat. I went vest. But the sun is out. There's not many clouds in the sky right now.
No, I meant when I was walking the dog. When I was walking the dog this morning, I went light jacket.
So what did you do on Saturday? It was rainy.
I was at the Atlanta United match and taking care of business.
How were the crowds?
There was 40-something thousand people there. I like the...
Upper deck not open.
No. It was Nashville. Who cares?
Rivalry week, though. Atlanta United tie 1-1.
How many rivals is a team allowed to have?
I would say Orlando and Nashville. Or
Charlotte.
Probably, yeah, Charlotte as well.
So like three.
Okay. That's good with me.
You know, people want to argue like Red Bulls. And I don't know. Get one. Choose one.
Okay. How was the atmosphere?
It was good till Nashville started to take over.
Right.
Then not great. We got to stop doing the wave at games, man.
At soccer games? I thought the wave was like specifically for baseball games, not football games, not soccer matches.
The most frustrating part of the wave is like the 10 attempts it takes to get it started, where people are just screaming, 1, 2, 3, go, and it gets nowhere. 1, 2, 3, and it gets a little bit more than nowhere.
So where are you sitting Saturday
in the press box?
That's what I figured.
I'm in the press box. I can't see the wave starting.
Open-air press box at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in that corner.
I can hear it, and I'm just like, what are y'all doing, man? And look, I was that kid. I understand. I used to start the wave, okay? Now, I was a kid. I am ashamed of it, but I used to start the wave.
Of course.
But I took it as a professional courtesy to do it right. And it takes work to properly start a wave in under 3 minutes, okay?
All right, so now as an attendee, if you're going to do it right,
that's all I'm saying.
Are you taking part in the wave if it comes around? Or are you boycotting it?
I won't take part in starting it. I won't get out of my chair for it.
That's fair.
But like if it comes, yeah, you throw an arm up. I may not even go two arms. One arm up. You kind of have to.
Par for the course.
I've never
for
been
Abe
good
Gordon.
To avoid peer pressure, Drew.
Par for the course for Abe Gordon. I'm assuming the atmosphere was a little bit different over at Truist Park over the weekend. Braves welcomed in the Los Angeles Dodgers. They lose 2 out of 3. They did win last night, but plagued by weather delays. I was up a little bit later on Saturday evening at about 12:45 a.m. They were still in the seventh inning.
You know, I think we have to give credit to the Braves organization, the grounds crew, and the people who monitor the weathers, the umpires, all that. I actually think they handled it just about perfectly.
They handled it the best way they could.
You knew you were Sunday night baseball, right? You take that into account. You're not turning it around for 10 a.m. batting practice and 11:15 infield drills. Your timeline's a little bit skewed there. You know when the storm is coming and around when it's going to be passed. And Brian Snicker was pretty open and said, hey, we can't go an inning or two innings and then lose a starter because there's a three-hour delay. I actually thought they handled the weather delay really well on Saturday, leading into a late night, around a 10:15 start time. And then you actually played the whole game out, no delays from there.
What'd you think of the ESPN broadcast last night? Obviously, Braves Dodgers nationally televised over the weekend. Carl Ravitch and crew on the game.
Yeah.
Any thoughts there? Because I do have some thoughts.
I want to hear those. The only thing for me is that I'm so used to obviously watching the guys at FanDuel, and it's a moderately biased broadcast, as it should be.
Brandon Gaudin, CJ Nick Kowski, Wiley Ballard,
to the Braves audience. So Sometimes I actually think it's refreshing to get a neutral both sides of the story thing. But yeah,
The eighth inning last night, Bo, where the crazy play happened? It was off Freeman's glove.
Yeah,
and then
right.
They didn't even show the replay. They went straight to commercial. Braves fans are up booing. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like, there's no way his foot was on the bag.
His foot was definitely
what
on the bag.
What the hell was that? That was like broadcasting 101. I'm sure the producer in the truck was like, what are we doing?
They're not going to show anything on ESPN that's going to negatively impact the Dodgers.
That's a really good point. I mean, it was egregious. And then they come back from break, still don't show the replay. They do show the replay. I'm like, his foot was not on the bag. And then they just continue broadcasting.
Well, what are we talking about? His foot was definitely on the bag.
On the bag?
Yes.
For what, a half a millisecond?
How long does it have to be on the bag?
I don't
glove
think
and
it was
ball
on the, bag.
On the bag.
I was a little bit surprised the Braves also did not challenge that as well. But got a little dicey there late for the Braves. They were able to hold on last night. They beat the Dodgers 4-3. Big thanks to Raisel Iglesias with a huge, huge save. It is Cinco de Mayo. Any plans for Cinco de Mayo? You gonna go get Mexican food? You gonna have a margarita, a cerveza? What you gonna do?
I'm probably gonna go see Sinners, which is irrelevant to Cinco de Mayo.
You could bring in some Mexican food. They probably have nachos at the movie theater concession stand.
They do. They're probably week old chips and month old cheese, but that's all right.
Kind of depends on where you go see movies, though.
Yeah, that is true. A lot of these new, like, five-star dining experiences.
Let me tell you where I'm not going. Any of those spots. I'm going to the theater I've been going to for 35 years.
They still have the guy who tears the tickets for you in front of you before you walk into the theater?
No, but nothing has changed since I've been there. They still have the tunnels.
AMC, Regal, what are we talking?
It's a Regal. It's in Perimeter Point.
Okay.
And they still have, like, the tunnels we used to sneak in through, like everything, nothing has changed.
How's the popcorn?
35 years old.
Do you get it when you go?
I'm doing keto right now, okay. So that's the toughest part, honestly. Today will be my third movie in 5 days.
So what do you walk in there with, just a big bag of beef jerky or
something? This jug of water.
Yeah.
This jug of water is all I bring in. No food.
No food.
No.
In ketosis.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it. Awesome.
Going to a movie theater with everyone else, like a lot of these movies, I'm the only one in. But I saw like Thunderbolts. There was like a couple people in there with me. And the guy right next to me had a big tub of popcorn. And it smelled so good. couldn't do it.
You still get free refills at Regal Perimeter Point?
If you get the large.
There you go. All right, let's hit a little 9 at 9. Yeah, we touched on it briefly. The Braves welcome in the Los Angeles Dodgers to Truist Park over the weekend. They lose 2 out of 3. They were able to win on Sunday Night Baseball. The Braves are back to 3 games below 500. Friday, they lost 2-1. Saturday, they lost 10-3. But last night, they win 4-3. Bryce Elder goes 5-plus with 2 runs around. Austin Riley, a 2-run homer. Raisel Iglesias with a huge save.
Yeah, big-time stuff last night from Iglesias, and you definitely wanted to get those 3 outs at the time you did because yes. Shohei Ohtani,
was waiting
Mookie
in
Betts,
the wings,
Freddie Freeman, they're right there. And at that point, you're not worried about, all right, maybe we go to extras. You're worried about them taking a lead there in the ninth. A little bit concerned about Schwelly, another bump in terms of his starts, and we'll see. This was expected last year. It never happened. It's happening now. He's got to fight through it, get over it. He's still got great stuff, still very confident in him. Real bummer for Grant Holmes because he was outstanding on Friday night.
Yes.
Unfortunately, so was Yamamoto. He's the Major League Baseball ERA leader, I believe, and the Braves just couldn't tally enough. You hold the Dodgers to 2 runs, and it was enough for them to hold up. That's a bummer.
Yeah, they were competitive. Again, Friday and Saturday both plagued by weather delays, but big for the Braves to save face last night. Get one. They continue their home stand as they welcome in the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Brady Singer versus AJ Smith-Shawver on the mound. Over the weekend, Atlanta United grabbed 1 point in a 1-1 draw against Nashville SC. Miguel Almiron scores for United in the 20th minute. However, Nashville battles back and they split to grab a point.
Played great for 20-30 minutes, fell apart after that.
The Kentucky Derby raced Saturday evening. Sovereignty was your winner. He was 7-1 before the race began. Man, that was a muddy, muddy track. The pre-race favorite, Journalism. Yeah. He was 3-1. He finished
second. Can I tell you, you and I probably have a lot of crossover on social media who would follow. A lot of journalism finishes second tonight type of jokes going on. A lot of failed journalism jokes on Saturday evening.
We would be hitting a record for the amount of time said journalism. Journalism. Thank you, Abe, on the Steakhouse this Monday morning. The NBA playoffs continue. The Warriors beat the Rockets last night in Game 7. The Pacers beat the Cavs. A big Game 1 upset in the Eastern Conference. The
Buddy Hield finally shows up. It took him 7 games, but 33 points, I think, last night. Big time from the three-point line. And similarly for the Pacers, they were knocking open threes down all night long. The Cavs need Darius Garland back, and they need to defend the perimeter.
You know I'm a big golfer, so I got to mention this. Scottie Scheffler, he won the CJ Cup Byron Nelson Classic in Dallas, which is his hometown, yesterday. He tied the PGA Tour scoring mark, shooting 31 under par over four rounds. Abe, he was 18 under through his first two rounds. Just silly, silly, silly. Big PGA Tour tournament this weekend in Philly, and then, of course, next week in Charlotte is the PGA Championship.
Yeah, he turned it on. There was no one was catching him. And it just goes back to when he's on, when he's at his best, he is the top golfer in the world.
Yeah, him and Rory are going to be fun to watch next week. Look, we touched on a lot in that opening segment. One thing we did not talk about were the Atlanta Falcons. And you made a comment on air Friday that got everybody spun up. What should we expect out of Michael Penix in 2025? I think everybody's thinking one way. You shouldn't be surprised. Abe Gordon thinking a different way. That's it right after the break. You're listening to the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. You are in the Steakhouse. Drew Butler alongside Abe Gordon on this beautiful Cinco de Mayo in Atlanta. Fun weekend. Relaxing weekend. Kentucky Derby, Braves Dodgers, Atlanta United played Nashville. You had the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Some boxing was on last night. And a new week begins. I just saw, and I was listening to some people discuss it earlier this morning, you know, the best part about the Derby, of course, the race is 2 minutes or less, is the five-hour show that goes around it. And I am a huge Mike Tirico fan. I think Tirico is one of the best. NFL, golf, all the big-time Olympic stuff.
So I like him a lot more doing what he does for the Derby or the Olympics than I do as an NFL guy.
Wow.
I'm not in love with Tirico, the play-by-play voice.
Really?
I love Tirico, the studio host.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
He was doing his studio host duties at Churchill Downs, and he gets pulled off the air. You're like, where'd he go? Ahmad Farid comes on, he says he's under the weather. Well, it comes out he was having a reaction to peanuts. He's got a nut allergy. And people were tweeting out that he didn't seem right. His voice seemed off.
Yeah.
He had to take himself off the broadcast. And I do not believe that he came back.
At one point they called it. They're like, and he's going to remain off the air.
Wow.
So hopefully everything's good. I didn't see any follow-ups, but
I know he was on a show on Golf Channel this morning, so I'm guessing that he's okay, and it was probably some preventative measures to get him off the broadcast. But if you know anything about allergies, those are nothing to mess around with, especially some of those peanut allergies. So I'm glad Mike Tirico's okay. That's my guy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want anything bad to happen to that guy.
No.
I love him. I think he's the best. I don't know. Bob Costas had a long run as well. But
yeah, a bunch of Syracuse guys. Sean McDonough's one of them as well. Dave Pasch.
Tirico at the booth for the Olympics.
I think is
like pristine.
Yeah.
Like that I think is some of the best studio hosting work possible. Because you're multiple sports, multiple athletes, multiple locations, and just air traffic controlling it the whole time. It's very strong.
There you go. Follow us on X at 92.9 The Game, at Drew Butler, at Abe Gordon. Also, download the Odyssey app. Listen to us anytime, anywhere. The Odyssey app, it is by far the best radio app in the biz right now, for sure. Thinking about things that are the best. Towards the end of last year's Falcons season, it was obviously clear that the transition at the quarterback position was well underway. I was highly critical of Terry Fontenot drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. And what do you know? The way things seem to work out, it may go down as a stroke of genius for Terry Fontenot to have had Michael Penix Jr. on the roster after Kirk Cousins' injury and his declining play due to that injury, as Kirk Cousins has been very, very clear about. However, going through the offseason, and now as we're like 4 months away from the NFL returning, which is extremely exciting, everybody is pointing to the 3 games that Michael Penix Jr. started to finish the Falcons season a year ago. And it seems like to me, Abe, a lot of Falcons fans are very optimistic on the future of Michael Penix. It seems to me, Abe, that based on what he did in a huge Sunday Night Football game with a lot of playoff implications, Falcons fans feel like they have a young gunslinger who can get the football to their skill playmakers and have a legitimate shot of returning to the playoffs in 2025. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. However, you feel differently.
Well, not entirely, because to your point, I am optimistic. I think the Falcons have a guy that could be franchise quarterback moving forward for a decade, decade plus. Here's the thing. I also think there's a world in which they're wrong. I just don't understand the ability to say we've seen 3 games from him and now we're good. I just don't know if I buy that. Sample sizes in the NFL, and you could speak to this, are very weird. And for whatever number, for whatever reason, the number 4 when it comes to quarterbacks is the determining sample size. Once you get to games 5, 6, and 7, that's when the league has some scouting reports on you. That's when they've got a look on you, and that's when they make their adjustments to whatever that quarterback is doing. We're only in 3 games. By the way, the Falcons lost 2 of them, both in overtime.
Now, are you just basing your assessment on the win-loss record and the statistics?
No. I would say this for anyone. This is not a Michael Penix thing. I would say this for every quarterback. I'm not rallying around 3 games and saying it's a done deal. We've got our guy. I need to see more. I want to see more.
What's your hesitation on not being able to say Michael Penix Jr.
is our guy?
Our guy? Now, when you watch the tape, the throws that he makes, his mannerisms in the pocket, his control of the offense pre-snap, getting guys into position, being able to execute the game plan. I mean, because when I watch the tape and I see them up in Arlington, Virginia, against the Commanders on Sunday Night Football with a lot of playoff implications on the line, yes, he had the 1 bad interception.
Right.
The way for him to bounce back, deliver the football downfield
with
accuracy, massive throws,
tight
move
windows,
the offense down, clutch third down conversions. To me, I say, wow, this kid's got it.
I don't disagree, but I also am not ignoring some of the questionable decisions that were made. He had 3 touchdowns
in
3
games.
He's a
rookie. It's his first ever action.
That's my point.
Okay.
He's played 3 games. I'm still viewing him essentially this season as a rookie. And there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be teachable and learning moments. He's not coming in as some polished quarterback.
Okay, so the Falcons would have made the playoffs and gotten into the playoffs in the wild card round, and that was his 4th game. And maybe he just does okay because historically rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, not the best outcomes. But you would have your 4-game sample size.
But again,
Michael Penix Jr. would have technically taken the Falcons to the playoffs. Would your assessment be different today if that would have happened?
No.
But you just said,
because
you need 4 games.
Well, then there's the
you don't have 4 games.
But that's the second part. That's when teams adjust. And so now we'd be seeing how he adjusts back to them. The every career in most sport, it happens with pitchers, right? We're seeing Spencer Schwellenbach go through it now. The league has adjusted. Now he's got to adjust
back. In the
NFL,
it's called the sophomore slump, right?
The league adjusts. You adjust back, and the entire rest of your career is about small adjustments as the league makes their changes in how they defend you. I just, look, again, I want to be very clear here. I am very positive that Michael Penix can and is the franchise quarterback.
It doesn't sound like it.
But I'm also not pretending like he's not an X factor, that there's no world in which there are some issues there. After three games, he's Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden?
I mean, I don't think anybody's calling Michael Penix Jr. Patrick Mahomes.
I don't
Mahomes.
Think you need that much out of Penix. I mentioned this, like, if Michael Penix is the 13th or 14th.
No, I think the Falcons are in a great position at
I
that
agree.
Point. Yeah.
I agree. I don't think we need him to be one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. We need him to be higher than 18.
I would love for Falcons fans to chime in and let us know if you have the expectation that Michael Penix Jr. will be a top five quarterback in the NFL, because I don't think that's anybody's expectations. 404-726-0929. Please call in. Knock some sense into Abe Warden. You're bringing up top five quarterback. You're bringing up Patrick Mahomes. Who's saying this?
You want me to show you my Twitter page? Here's the thing. Separate of Penix, what do you think an X factor is? Like define X factor for
somebody
me.
Who plays great in clutch moments. Somebody who you can count on to make a big play to potentially change the outcome of a game. In regards to an Atlanta Falcons quarterback, an X factor would simply be somebody who can execute the game plan, not right. turn the ball over, and hopefully get the ball to Drake London and Bijan Robinson.
I just have an issue that so many people are – and by the way, this is an opinion. Let me just say this first. This is my opinion. I'm not stating this as some fact that he's a huge question mark. It is my opinion that I have some concerns. So don't go on social media or hit us up and start name calling and it like it's
no,
my
you,
opinion.
No. I'm you allowed need to do that.
You're
you
allowed
absolutely
to have
need to call in, name call, and get nasty.
No, because you're
it's
getting
a Monday morning on the
if
steakhouse.
If you name call, you're getting dropped immediately. And you're lucky I don't have control of the dang button myself.
No, you do
but
not.
But let me say this. Just because I am not treating him as an entirely known quantity doesn't mean I don't believe he can be that guy. I do. But I also still have a little bit of hesitancy, a little bit of nervousness after just three games. Cooper Rush went 4-1 when he had a chance to start.
Turn the tape on. Of Cooper Rush's first three games in the NFL, first four games, put the same tape on of Michael Penix Jr. Don't look at the stats. Don't look at the wins or losses. Just watch them play the game. And you tell me who you think has more upside.
I think it's Michael Penix.
Thank you.
But I'm also sitting here and saying we've seen him for three games. Jacksonville's seen Trevor Lawrence for 50 games and they don't know what they have. We now all of a sudden know what we have after three games?
I mean, that is a fair point. I cannot wait to get the feedback of our listeners. I see the phone lines are already starting to light up. We're going to continue talking about this topic. Please chime in, 404-726-0929. This hour of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. We are going to continue talking about Michael Penix Jr. and what to expect of him next season after the break. Also, we got a tailgate coming up. A big time decision for a five-star prospect is happening later today. And I just saw there is a new number one ranked team in the country in a big time sport. And it's not too far from where we stand right here in Midtown Atlanta. Having a lot of fun on this Cinco de Mayo. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .940 Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guy Pros Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Spirited conversation on the expectations for Michael Penix Jr. from the Falcons fan base. That's who we want to hear from. What are your expectations for Michael Penix Jr. as the Falcons starting quarterback in the 2025 season? Is it a top five quarterback? Is it Patrick Mahomes adjacent, as Abe Gordon to my left here is talking about? Or are you just saying, hey, man, take care of the football, execute the game plan, get it into Bijan's and Drake's hands, and let's see what we can do. 404-726-0929. We're going to head to the phone lines. We got some great Falcons fans and 92.9 The Game listeners who want to chime in, and then we got a great tailgate for you coming up in just a few minutes. So let's start off with Tim in Alpharetta. Tim, you're on the Steakhouse. Good Monday morning, my friend.
Hello?
Hey, Tim, you there, brother? What are you thinking? What's your expectations for Michael Penix Jr. in the 2025 season?
Yeah, so I'm with you guys. I was definitely encouraged by what I saw. Michael Penix has the ability to read an NFL defense. He can go through the progressions, which is encouraging. And, however, I feel good about him, but I'm not ready to anoint him as the franchise quarterback after three games. I agree with Abe on that point. But there definitely is a lot of encouraging things that I saw. But again, it's only been three games, so I feel like we need a bigger sample size. But the signs are encouraging.
Thanks so much, Tim. It sounds like Abe, he's kind of toeing the line there, agreeing with both of us. But you wanted to make sure that everybody knew exactly where you stood as far as what you're questioning and what you believe.
Yeah, because I'm encouraged as well. I do believe he can be the franchise quarterback. I don't want to misconstrue the questions I have for Michael Penix. But I just feel so many Falcons fans I've talked to, it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
That after three games, he's the guy. I think he's going to be the guy. I feel pretty good about it. But, man, I can't just come in to the season and say I have zero concerns about quarterback after three games. A guy that, again, yes, essentially is a rookie. I think the fact that he's going to be QB1 for the offseason is huge.
Yeah, big time.
I think it is massive.
I totally agree with that.
There are so many positive things here. I don't want to be kind of misquoted as this being a negative or me trashing Penix.
That's fair.
And that's not the thing. But to say, like, we have a top 10 running back, check. We have a top 10 receiver, check. We have a top 15 quarterback. I'm just not 1,000% okay checking that box yet. I think he is. I think he can be. But, man, three games in, it's not an afterthought.
Let's see what James in Stone Mountain thinks. James, good morning, my man. Do you think Michael Penix Jr. will be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL in 2025?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get on this show for a long time.
We love it, man. Welcome.
Well, I just want to say, when we first drafted him, I ain't going to lie, I went too hot. But there's three things I see. I go to all the games, all the tailgates. There's three things I saw in those three games. The first one is when he ran for the touchdown. The second one is when he threw that ball to Kyle Pitts to tie the game up against Washington. Those two things right there showed me he can be a top 10 quarterback. And no pressure. There was no pressure on him.
I totally agree, James. Thanks for the call. I mean, those plays that James just mentioned are the ones that jump off the screen at you. You're like, wow, this rookie in his first or second ever start is doing that in a high-profile moment on national primetime television. Like, that is when you elevate your game. And going back to your X-Factor question, those are the plays that you make that say, this dude is an X-Factor.
The pitch throw is the one that stands
out. It's more impressive. What's more impressive, the throw or the catch that Kyle Pitts actually made?
All right.
I'm just saying.
No.
I jumped off my couch when that happened.
The throw
I could not believe it.
Because of the moment, and then even, by the way, take the moment away. The window itself, the physical window where he needs to fit that ball into, there is almost no room for error.
Yes.
In that moment, with that window, that is the highlight of the season. And then, obviously, the next week he does have the rushing touchdown. What you see in that throw is the reason we're all like, hey, this is the guy who was built for the moment.
That is 100% correct.
You lost the game, yes. I get that. This is the guy that's built for the moments. I'm fully on board with that. But I also need a bigger sample size. That's my only concern.
Larry, in the truck. Larry, do you need a bigger sample size, or are you all in on Michael Penix in the 2025 season?
I definitely need a bigger sample. And not only am I going to go past four games or five games, I'm looking at the whole season, you know, so before I even think that he can be the regular quarterback all the way through with no questions asked.
So you need, you need 17 more games.
And the reason is because he's got physical things he's got to help me understand that he can stand up to the physicality of the, you know, NFL, because that wasn't all that apparent in college. He had some issues physically.
He definitely
did. I'm worried about that too.
All right, Larry, thanks so much. I mean, Larry's bringing up a lot there, saying he needs an entire season of a sample size in order to decide what he thinks Michael Penix Jr. is going to be. And then he brings up also the physicality nature of a long NFL season. This is a guy who was injured many, many times throughout his college career, Abe.
Yeah, some of those are freak things. I mean, at Washington, he was fine, and I think he got hurt in Washington's run to the playoffs and still played relatively well. Probably a rib injury or something in the core that was bothering him, and he still played through it and played well. I also just don't think we've seen the upper limits of him athletically. I think there's more he can show as he gets more comfortable in the offense, too. And so we talked about the rushing touchdown. I think there's more of that coming as well.
Okay, can I ask a stupid question before we jump to the
tailgate? No questions are stupid.
Now, I understand the Kirk Cousins move did not happen during draft weekend, and obviously there were some rumors out there that he could have been packaged up or there could have been a deal made, first, second, third, fourth round, whatever it may have been. They could have gotten Kirk Cousins off the books. That didn't happen. But as the Shedeur Sanders slide was happening and the Falcons had great draft picks thus far, was there any point in your mind where you're like, man, the Falcons could snag Shedeur in the fifth round or whatever round it was?
No, there
to
wasn't.
To put him behind Penix, you got your two quarterbacks, move on from Kirk, see what happens.
No, again, because you only make that play if you question what you have in the room. I don't really question what we have in the room. Okay. It's just, again, not an afterthought.
Never even crossed your mind?
No, not once. Not once.
Would it have crossed your mind if maybe Kirk had been moved and the Falcons were sitting there with Michael Penix Jr. and then an unknown commodity at backup?
No, it wouldn't have. I just don't think this team was in play for that.
I don't either, but you can never rule out anything like that when it comes to a Falcons draft.
I get it, and for some point, and potentially for Cleveland, at some point, the value, because, by the way, we can talk about Shedeur slide at some point. I think that's incredible value for him.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
I understand why teams pass on him in the middle rounds and the discussions.
But that's why I'm bringing it up, to get the value of him in the fifth round.
It's still value if you're a quarterback needy team. Okay.
What if the Falcons would have selected him and then all of the news about the prank call comes out afterwards and he ends up going to the team who was adjacently responsible for the viral prank call? That would have been quite the storyline. Speaking about quarterbacks and potential landing spots, let's hit the tailgate. All right, tonight, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the top 2026 quarterback recruit, five-star Jared Curtis, is set to make his decision. It is expected to be between Georgia and Oregon. Abe, this is a big one. A lot of fans very much in tune with where Jared Curtis is going to go. He's from Nashville Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. And my sources say that this is a professional decision being made. My sources say agents are involved. Marketing companies are involved, coaches on all sides, the family, of course. And I don't believe Georgia or Oregon know at this moment. I'm not even quite sure if they will be told prior to Jared Curtis making his decision, but that's coming down the line tonight, 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well, look, this is your prototypical quarterback, 6'4", Gatorade Player of the Year in Tennessee. He previously had committed to Georgia like a year ago.
Georgia's been on him for a long time.
Previously committed, then decommitted in the same year, and now it's down to them and the Ducks. It's a fascinating discussion for me because if I'm a top quarterback, do you question what Georgia's put into the NFL?
Dude, have you ever been to Oregon?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten out there? You're in no man's land.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get there.
Well, you mentioned a professional decision, and I'm thinking a pro decision.
Yes, thank you.
You tell me what Georgia's put in.
I mean, I'm sure Oregon's nice in July for 2 weeks.
Oregon's nice.
I mean, give me a break. If you're making that decision, and of course my bias is coming out a little bit.
Yeah,
could you ever choose? How could you ever choose Oregon over Athens, Georgia?
Because
on every level.
Well,
you want more Nike swag?
No. I think these decisions come down to more than a 3-year decision. I think that's the point. You want to talk about, do we want to compare the quarterbacks Georgia has put into the NFL since Stafford and the quarterbacks that Oregon has? I mean, you tell me. Is Ryan Day putting more quarterbacks into the top round of the NFL draft than Kirby Smart? Not Ryan Day, sorry, Dan Lanning. Ryan Day definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix obviously helped out pretty good. But
yeah, and Dylan Gabriel goes decently early.
That's a head-scratcher, but...
I agree.
I think Jared Curtis will probably make the best decision for himself, and I would assume, being from Nashville, Tennessee...
I think he's going to Georgia as well. Then the question is, who does he bring, right? That's always my favorite part.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now you're with us. Start hitting the trail for us.
Yeah. No question about it.
Who you want to throw to? Get him over here.
ESPN currently breaking some big news. Sherrone Moore, head football coach at the University of Michigan, is expected to be suspended 2 games during the 2025 season. It looks like,
all right,
Abe,
weeks one and two, that makes sense.
Weeks 3 and 4. These are self-imposed sanctions dating back to the Connor Stallions scandal. Sherrone Moore allegedly deleted 52 text messages with Connor Stallions when the story broke in October of 2023.
So what I'm reading, and Sherrone Moore obviously has a history at Oklahoma, played for them, lineman, all that stuff, and that's their week two matchup. And maybe there's a little bit of, I get to kind of choose, and I want to go against my alum situation. Like, week three, like, what are we doing with week 3 and 4? If you're going to pick and choose, just go ahead with week 1 and week 3, the two bums on your schedule.
Get it out of the way.
Because if they lose...
Self-imposed sanctions.
Week
4
is at Nebraska. Week 4 is at Nebraska. That's not a gimme. It's not a gimme win.
You're right. Sherrone Moore, suspended. Self-imposed sanctions. 2 games, weeks 3 and 4 of the 2025 season. I'm also seeing some news out of Washington, D.C. It looks like President Trump is supposed to make a quote-unquote sports announcement at 11 a.m. right when we go off the air, and then it's followed by the signing of some executive orders. He has put himself into the NIL conversation.
Yeah.
Will he prevent or provide an executive order to help college sports get out of its current tailspin? I have no idea. We'll wait and see. However, the biggest news of the tailgate so far, there is a new number one team in college baseball. Baseball America just released their new college top 25, and the number one team, Abe Gordon, is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, they were flirting with it a couple of weeks ago, and then they had a couple downturns where they got swept and had some issues and kind of went away from the top two, top three, and now they're back. They've been hot this season. They're a good team, and a lot of people, you kind of wondered, hey, after Condon, what is this team going to be?
That's right.
One of the title favorites.
Well,
that's
baseball schedule is so long. I mean, expect ebbs and flows, and you just hope that you really start to catch your stride as the season's winding down. You want to be in Omaha in late June.
And I know we talked about the SEC in basketball, and we've talked about the SEC in football. The SEC, in terms of baseball, is elite as well. So there's no free weekends, as you want to call it.
No free weekends at all. That is your tailgate. You having fun?
I am having fun.
Are people chirping at you on Twitter? I hope they are.
Yeah, probably.
I'm trying to sick them on Abe Gordon.
I know. Do you see the difference, though, when people call and actually have to speak to me? They're like, well, got your back, Abe. On Twitter, just name calling. Hey, real quick, Steakhouse, hour number one, brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
After the break, in the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking more Falcons. We're talking more Braves. You got the NBA and NHL playoffs going on. Yes, we will do things I learn. Yes, I will provide that for you in the absence of Steak Shapiro. We're going to keep having fun. Hope your Cinco de Mayo is off to a great start. Appreciate you listening. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Be sure to follow us on social media at 92.9 The Game, at Drew Butler, at Abe Gordon. Download the Odyssey app wherever you download your apps. Any place, anytime. The Odyssey app is where you can tune in to the Steakhouse. Skip chapters, go straight to segments. It's the best. Download the Odyssey app wherever you download your apps. Do you listen to the app a lot?
A fair amount. I got my pup Chipper, and so I'm walking her with the headphones on, you know, multiple times a day, and depending on the time of day, I will listen. Yeah,
I love the app. I think it's great. I listen to it all the time. So I'm being
sometimes I'll just throw it on the smart device too at home. Just be like, hey Alexa.
Always good. Always a good decision. It is Cinco de Mayo. You just informed me that there is some Mexican food outside the studio. It's 10 a.m.
So?
I have not enjoyed Mexican food yet. I might on the way out. I asked you this earlier. You're going to a movie by yourself.
Yeah,
That's another discussion.
I was going to turn that around. Are you doing some tequila or margarita situations today?
Now we're talking. Probably a cold beer, I would assume. I don't think we'll go out to eat tonight. I'm sure the girls, my daughters, will want to, you know, get festive in some way, shape, or form. So whether that's tacos at the house tonight, I did make my special Mexican soup last night. That was just, I guess, a coincidence. But I'll imbibe. I'll definitely celebrate today. It's Cinco de Mayo.
We
it's
got
a great time to do it.
Tacos and tequilas, Mexican grill brought some stuff out. So I might dive in and see what's going on. I don't have a problem eating like Mexican food at like 10 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever. I have a weird bit where just like time of day does not matter.
But you're in ketosis, as you told me. You're
well, yeah, I can't eat the rice.
Are you doing the Peachtree Road race?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a full marathon, right?
No, it's a 10K.
Oh, it's a 10K?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You think you get 55,000 people to do a full marathon?
I don't know. I'm not a marathon specialist.
No, it's just a 10K. It's 6 miles.
How long will that take you? About an hour?
Ideally a smidge under an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good pace, right?
Yeah. I'd like to crack 50 minutes.
What's that, around 7 miles?
6.2.
6.2 miles.
6.2 miles.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a sub 10-minute pace. It's nothing crazy.
That's very good. How old are you?
I'll be 40 later this year.
Really?
Not quite by the peach tree.
I got to say, Abe, and this is not a slight at you, I'm impressed.
Bro, can I tell you what?
I'm impressed.
My last like 5-6 races, I've been cooking.
He takes his racing.
I know he does.
A couple.
With your stature, again,
yeah.
I'm just being very blunt.
I've lost a little weight.
You have. You look great.
My last 5K, for the first time in my adult life, I was sub-7 pace.
That's moving.
Yeah.
That's rolling.
Yeah. I was pumped.
All right. Good for you. Hopefully the weather's good this year for the Peachtree Road
Race. It's not going to be. It's always too hot. It's always a problem.
They still go up Cardiac Hill?
Yeah. We're there. There's no other way to get down Peachtree.
Look, we got a big, big week in the Butler house. May is a huge month in the Butler household. My daughter turned 7 on Thursday. I turned 36 on Saturday. Mother's Day is Sunday. Memorial Day is a couple weeks later. My wife's birthday is May 30th. I like to consider myself the American Express customer of the month when May rolls around because it is just out, out, out.
I'm our
swipe,
family's
swipe, swipe.
Our family is a big August. Me and my sister are August 11th. My dad a couple days before August 9th, and then at back end of the month August 26th is my mom. So we've got a bunch of August birthdays.
We're gonna have a fun week. I noticed that nobody said happy early birthday, Drew. So thank you everybody in the studio for not even caring one slight bit. That's okay.
It's too far away.
I see where
it's
I stand.
Too far away. Too many days.
I see where I stand. You had
Bo's got a birthday coming up.
Do you, Bo? When is it?
May 27th.
Hey! Yeah. All
right. Hey, Bo, man. Happy early birthday.
Hey, appreciate that.
Tequila shots outside as soon as we wrap up here, okay, Bo?
For me, I didn't have to go to work this afternoon. I would seriously entertain that.
What time's first pitch tonight? 7:10?
7, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, you had mentioned to me during the break, Abe. You got some issues with the scheduling right now.
What are we doing?
NBA playoffs going on, NHL playoffs going on, game sevens, high drama. And you're sitting there saying, what are we doing?
Not everyone has the setup I have. Can we coordinate a little bit? I mean, what a rough day. I mean, in a manner of speaking, obviously one of the teams won, but like, What a rough night in Denver on Saturday to have the Denver Nuggets in a Game 7 at the exact same time that the Colorado Avalanche are in a Game 7. We can't coordinate and cut the people out there a little bit of a break?
Now, what is your solution there, since two teams are in
offset
the same
the
city?
Offset the games. I don't know.
You just change up the scheduling for all 20,000 people that have tickets for this Game 7?
Start time, man.
I understand what you're saying, but you think they can just adjust the start time a couple of days out based on the Nuggets making it to a Game 7?
I think you can figure it out. I don't think having – and by the way, even last night, where you're not dealing with fans of the same city, like – Game 7 in the NBA and Game 7 in the NHL at the same time? There's no way around that?
I'm sure there is a way around that. There's no doubt
about it. All right, so explore it. Like, explore the ways around that.
What do you enjoy watching more? Or if you have the opportunity to be in attendance of, would it be a Game 7 of an NBA series or a Game 7 of an NHL series?
I don't want to go.
Or Game 7 of a baseball series.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I want to watch on TV.
If I provided you tickets, two tickets,
to go
free,
to one of those three, it would be the World Series. It would be a baseball series.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't think I'm going to miss as much. Dude, I like watching certain games on TV more than being there.
I would have to say, Bo, I'd love your thoughts as well. If you had tickets for me,
yeah,
and we'll just stick to Game 7, so baseball, basketball.
Could be round
hockey.
One, though.
What
doesn't
round?
Have to be the championship. Could
Are
be round
the same
one.
Same round of every sport?
For the argument's sake, let's
conference
just say
conference semifinals,
right? Like some, not the championship. I'd pick hockey.
So ALCS, NLCS, or conference semis in the other sports,
right? I'd pick hockey. A Game 7 hockey in person, that would be pretty electric.
If I had tickets on the glass or something like that, I'd consider it. But for me, it'd be baseball.
Yeah, it'd be baseball for me.
Wow,
You miss a lot in a hockey game if you're not, as Bo pointed out, right up there.
Game 7s in baseball, though, are so freaking – the anticipation of every pitch.
And the jockeying of the managers with the pitching staffs.
The chess game that plays out on TV, the drama is like elite-level entertainment if you're –
And I would say basketball is probably like – it's not much out of the norm. Like, the last 2 minutes of the first half or the second quarter and then – the last 5 minutes of the game are going to be where all the drama comes. And then hockey, it's like puck drop 100 million miles an hour straight out the gates for 60 minutes of action.
Well, the problem with basketball is you might have what we had Saturday night, which is Denver goes on a crazy run in the middle portion of the game, and the fourth quarter is just completely irrelevant. That was the only good news for fans in Colorado. The Nuggets were done. That game was over, essentially, midway through the early parts of the third quarter, and then they could switch over. And, like, man, you want to talk about the highs and lows of a city. To watch the Nuggets move on and then flip over and watch the Colorado Avalanche blow a two-goal lead with, like, 12 and a half minutes left. Dallas gets a penalty, a power play, and get the equalizer, and that goes into overtime. Dallas moves on. And then I thought that was as crazy as we were going to see. Last night might have topped it between the former Atlanta Thrashers,
Winnipeg Jets.
And the
double
St. Louis
overtime
Blues.
In Winnipeg.
But forget that, like, the end, they're holding the 3-1 lead, and the end of regulation, they get a goal with under 2 seconds.
I know.
Empty net, extra attacker to send it into overtime with like 1.6 or 1.2, whatever it was on the clock. Like, if you make a save, if that gets kicked away, you're out. You're so close to being season over.
Where would you rank Denver as a sports city? A top 15 sports city in the country? Obviously, the Broncos have had some success. The Nuggets won the championship a couple of years ago.
The Avs have a number of titles. I think it's three. It's definitely not four.
Is Denver a top 15 sports city in the country? Top 15?
They might be. They got all four sports?
They do.
Plus MLS?
They do. You're right. So they're probably
plus
are.
Plus, the Buffaloes aren't
on
that far down the road.
Alone.
Buffaloes aren't that far down the road.
All right, let's get even crazier. With that argument, would you rank Denver ahead of Atlanta as a sports
No, because we have college football.
Okay.
Like real college football, not like Buffaloes.
Yeah.
We have real college football.
Fascinating conversation. I know we're kind of all over the place, but it is early May, and we're touching the bases here on the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I saw one thing that I do want to bring up. I could save it for things I learned, but I think it's apropos for the conversation we're having of being in a stadium, game seven, where would you want to be, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA. I saw a social media conversation that said ballparks in Major League Baseball have lost the plot when it comes to food and beverage. All of these elaborate menu items, $37 nachos with carne asada and queso fresco and, you know, these specialty cocktails. People are saying, what happened to the just hot dog and cold beer? Where do you fall in that argument?
Did you see my pictures from the recent baseball trip that I took?
No.
I went, it was a minor league trip, so minor league stadiums and minor league prices, and that's admittedly so. I found the two weirdest items at every ballpark and had it. So I'm in favor of some of those niche
ideas.
Where
are these ballparks? Like Montgomery, Alabama, or where were you?
We were at the Charlotte Knights, the Durham Bulls, and the Kannapolis Cannonballers.
And Charlotte's like right downtown, I want to say?
Yeah, it's right there. Right next to Bank of America Stadium. So I like the idea. I agree some of the pricing has got kind of wonky, but like if we're going to do just the basic beer and a dog, like the dog's got to be like a 2.25 or cheaper. Like
yeah, I
can't have that dog being $6.
Well, look, you get down to the $2 and below hot dog, just don't ask any questions. You don't want to know what's inside
you
that
know what?
Casing.
I never did.
There's a reason they're less than $2. And there's a reason why the all beef Frank is running you $9. Buyer beware. And look, I'm not judging anybody. Give me five of those $2 ones.
That's what I'm talking about.
And we'll have some fun. No doubt about it. Yes, I learned a lot over the weekend. I promise you I did. One thing that I saw at my daughter's dance practice had me scratching my head, but then I kind of thought to myself, well, he's got a point. We'll touch on that right after the break. Happy Monday, everybody. You are inside the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. .10:24, this is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, happy Monday, a beautiful Monday, Cinco de Mayo. Thank you for that great music, Bo. Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, I'm sure plenty of margaritas will be enjoyed today. Any specials at the bar at Truist?
So, not to toot my own horn, because I'm not much of a, you know, my own horn tooter. But, yeah, there is a margarita that has become quite famous at the ballpark.
And is it
it's
yours?
Called a Bo-rita.
Good for you.
I will probably make 100 of those tonight.
Good for you.
Also,
what's your specialty?
Version. I have a spicy version with muddled jalapeno. I don't do any of that crappy flavored vodka, vodka, whatever that. Fresh muddled jalapenos, fresh orange juice, fresh lime juice.
Okay.
Fresh lemon juice. The
Throw
only
a
way
little
to go.
Orange juice in there.
Yeah.
You do the lazy version where you make a whole jug of it and just pour it out as people order, or we order.
We don't make like we need a margarita mix.
No, I'm talking about where you make like a huge
every margarita is handcrafted.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what
Grand Marnier, anything like that.
So,
what do you do?
Oh yeah, a little Grand Marnier. Okay. I use añejo tequila, which some will say is wasted in a margarita, but you can taste it. You can taste that oakiness.
Yeah,
man, it's yeah.
They're you know good. What I like? Poor man's margarita. You familiar with that? Just whatever tequila you like with some Fresca.
Oh, there you go.
That's actually pretty good. Throw a little lime in there.
Well, I can see that.
I just discovered Fresca when we went to Mexico like 2 months ago, and now I have some in my house, so it's delicious.
You know, a Blanco tequila with Fresca and a lime is good.
I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, poor man's margarita. That's what I call it. Okay, there you go. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Braves continue their home stand. They're welcoming in the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Brady Singer versus AJ Smith-Shawver. Braves dropped 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers over the weekend. We touched on it. Tons of rain delays plagued the series. It was on national television for much of the weekend. Braves now 3 games under .500. Once again, the Cincinnati Reds right now 18-17 overall. They're 3 games behind the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. What are your thoughts on the Braves right now? What are they? Are you okay? Are you know?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Me too.
But there's a couple things that have been not problematic in terms of trends or any of that stuff. It was incredibly frustrating in that final game against Colorado for Chris Sale to be so good and have that wasted. It was then incredibly frustrating on the turnaround for Grant Holmes in game one to be so good, couldn't get the offense going. And you got it back a little bit last night. I'm excited to see what A.J. Smith-Schauber has got for us. I thought he was very good in his last outing. Obviously, that ball to the back of the leg kind of changed things up for him. But they say he's all right, rebounding, and is coming back for it tonight. This is a guy that I just think that the tool bag is so deep for him. The pitches and the skill set that he has is so sharp. But if he's got to keep it together, he's got to put it together. And he's a young guy, right? He's got to mature on the mound a little bit. But, man, if he figures it out, I think he's a mainstay in the rotation. A lot of people get frustrated with him, but I just think you got to give him a little bit of time. And so I'm excited to see him. And then assuming Ellie De La Cruz is out there, it's one of the few guys on the opposing team where he's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, you want to get in to see him in
person.
There's
a couple
sure.
of guys in the league that's Shohei like,
is
man,
one of them.
Yeah.
Acuna, when he's on, is
yeah,
one of them.
Sure. Ellie De La Cruz is a beast. He's one of the, like, I was thinking about this driving in. How many different guys around the league am I kind of jealous they're not on my team? I don't want to sit here and make an argument like, oh, every team's got one or two of those guys. No, every team's got, like, maybe some level of
would
star.
Would Max Fried fall into that category?
It would right now.
Goodness
It would
gracious.
Right now. But Ellie De La Cruz is one of the guys that you're like, man, I'm so jealous this guy isn't on my – especially because of shortstop. Probably.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What about Acuna? I mean, this is such a
back.
Big storyline, I know, but I feel like it's been really kind of – shrouded in secrecy, but
oh, you mean like his timeline to
yeah,
start rehab and
should
stuff?
Be imminent.
It should be. It might be at some point this week. It might be at some point next week. Look, they've stuck to whatever their timeline is going to be, and so they're not going to change that now. So whenever they're
it's a long season,
just make sure
he's healthy.
Just well, and make sure you make the playoffs.
What do you
obviously.
Expect from him when he does come back?
I mean. Shortened season, let's go 15 home runs.
Okay.
10 stolen bases.
I think Snit would take that right now.
Yeah. But if he came back right now, he's going to need to hit me 20 bombs. But when he comes back, I'll take 15.
Where would you rather be than at Truist tonight? I mean, do you see the weather outside? I got the weather app pulled up right now. 6 p.m. It's going to be 70 degrees.
Having a burrito.
Nice and
right
dry
behind
out
home
there.
Plate.
Enjoying a burrito. I mean, it is going to be a great night down at the ballpark. 7:15 p.m. first pitch. Braves, Reds, Brady Singer versus A.J. Smith-Shauver. I think the Braves have definitely kind of settled the waters at this point right now. It'd be great to get on another win streak. Obviously, the Dodgers are one of, if not the best team in Major League Baseball, so you knew that was going to be tough sledding over the weekend. But keep winning games. Keep taking care of business. Beat up on the Reds. Go back on the road right around 500. I think you'd be feeling good as a clubhouse.
Yeah, I think, look, it was nice because we're all sitting there on Thursday, like, hey, or on Wednesday, whenever it was. Like, you beat the Rockies today, which, of course, you're going to do with Chris Sale on the mound. Then you're 500 and blah, blah, blah. That didn't happen. There was a slight step back. But that goes back to what you were talking about, long season. We were talking about that with college baseball. Long season, ebbs and flows, a slight downturn. Turn it back up tonight, and hopefully Austin Riley's two bombs last night. Hopefully the pitching performance of Bryce Elder, 5-plus again, kind of turns you in the right direction and I think they're starting to heat up. Like it doesn't feel hopeless like it did the first 3.5 weeks.
Totally agree. They've learned a lot through the first month and a half of the season. I learned a lot over the weekend. Let's do things I learned. I got a quick question for you. What are we doing? What are we doing? Why are rookies in the National Football League actively asking legends if they can use their retired jersey numbers? Abe, I'm about to be 36. I don't want to feel like the old guy screaming up at the clouds, but this is absolutely insane behavior to me. Are you serious? Do you have no self-awareness, Abdul Carter, to ask Lawrence Taylor if you can use his retired jersey number? Lawrence Taylor would rip your head off your body. You haven't done anything. What is going on?
I saw this story, and there was a continuation involving Phil Sims as well. Like, there's just no world in which a number is that important to you that you can ask LT for it. Like, that can't be. Now, Phil Sims, this other aspect of it kind of got out of hand, because Phil Sims on his own kind of said, I'll unretire 11 if either Abdul Carter or Jackson Dart want to wear it.
Yeah.
And then his family was like, no, man, you won't. And so he had to backtrack, and they kind of made it seem like Abdul Carter had also asked him. I don't think that's the case, but like, yeah.
Just stop.
56? Just stop. What are we doing?
Stop.
You have zero. I mean,
pick a number, go play football. You are a rookie. Thank you very, very much. Hey, last Thursday, I take my daughter to her dance practice. It's 5 o'clock on a Thursday. We're hanging out. I'm watching her do her thing. I look over to my right. One of the dads is sitting there, and I take a double take. He's just enjoying a Heineken in his hand at dance practice. I look closer. It is a Heineken Zero. It is a non-alcoholic beer. So I kind of think to myself, more power to you. Non-alcoholic beer has obviously taken off in big ways, Bo and Abe, but to have it while you're sitting there at your daughter's dance practice, I mean, I got to respect it. I do love a cold beer. It's a bigger conversation, though, and I don't have the answer. But if you have a non-alcoholic beer, I mean, technically, you could just crack it open while you're driving your car and enjoy the taste down 85.
Well, there's definitely, like, some prank videos out of there, people nearly getting arrested for, like, drinking in front of cops, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's non-alcoholic. I love that level of individualism where you just don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
And you're not breaking the law because it is non-alcoholic, and you're just like, yeah, man, I'm just going to crack this open right
Happy
here.
Happy Thursday, dude. It's 5 o'clock
somewhere. In a
somewhere.
School zone, like, whatever, you know.
I highly respected that. If you are an NA beer drinker, you got to let us know. Is it just free for all wherever you are? Hey, yesterday morning, Sunday Today with Willie Geist, he interviewed Vince Vaughn. Vince got a new movie coming out on Netflix this Friday called Nonas, but they went through Vince's whole career arc and it just brought a tear to my eye. I mean, this guy, I'm 36, this guy is a stalwart in what I believe the best era of comedy movies ever made. Old School, funniest movie of all time. Dodgeball, classic. Wedding Crashers, so great. Anchorman, transcendent. Shout out to Vince Vaughn. His first big movie, obviously, was Swingers. And then his first real big-time acting gig was on Rudy, when he was the football player in Rudy, screaming at Sean Astin, this guy's acting like it's the Super Bowl on every play.
Don't forget the remake of Psycho.
Yes.
That he was in, and Clay Pigeons.
Yes.
Also.
Vince Vaughn, just
some good
absolute
stuff.
Legend.
I also liked I really liked the TV series he put out last year, Bad Monkey or whatever.
Yeah, Bad
it was.
Monkey on Apple TV.
I really enjoyed that.
I have not watched it yet, but they talked about that a lot. As
season
he's
two.
Kind of an older guy now, he's 55.
Yeah, season 2 coming.
He's getting back into more of some of his drama acting opportunities. Last but not least, if you listen to The Steakhouse, you know that I am the biggest Conan O'Brien fan in the world. He won the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor.
Yep.
That special is on Netflix as well. My wife Jackie and I watched it last night. It was incredible. An hour and a half, tons of laughs. Congratulations to Conan O'Brien, your Mark Twain Prize winner for American Hero, American Humor, excuse me. Those are
I knew he had won that. I was waiting for it to come out.
Yes.
Because it takes a while to
edit. It's out. It came out Friday.
Yeah, I'm gonna dive into that.
Adam Sandler, David Letterman, John Mulaney, Will Ferrell. It was awesome. Congrats to Conan O'Brien. Those are things I learned. All right, 10:35 after the break. We got 3 strikes coming up. I will give you those questions right when we get back. Get on those phone lines, 404-726-0929. We're having a blast. Happy Cinco de Mayo. This is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
10:41, Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you've been enjoying your Monday morning alongside both of us. Bo Morgan behind the glass. We're having some fun. We're setting the pace for what will be a great week in Atlanta, Georgia. Three strikes coming up here in just a bit as we wrap things up. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. I'm going to give you the three questions right now. Abe and I just had a spirited conversation about a topic that has overtaken my social media algorithm. If you like sports, if you are a male, which I'm assuming the majority of you are if you're listening to this radio station, surely you probably have an idea of the conversation slash debate that has been just going absolutely insanely viral over the last week. So we're going to touch on that in just a second. But here are your three strikes questions. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. First question, game seven you want to attend, Major League Baseball, NBA, or NHL? The game seven you want to attend. Second question, it's Cinco de Mayo. You got to pick one, tacos, a burrito, or quesadilla? These are the important questions, people. I need an answer. Tacos, a burrito, or a quesadilla? And our third and final question, how fast can you run 1 mile? Abe is training. He'll be doing the Peachtree Road Race. The guy is out here putting up numbies. How fast can you run 1 mile? Those are our three strikes questions. Game seven you want to attend, MLB, NBA, NHL, tacos, burrito, or quesadilla, and how fast could you run 1 mile? All right, before we get to our debate, the John Foy big game of the night. We're going to Truist Park. I already set the stage for you. I mean, it's absolutely perfect weather outside. It's Cinco de Mayo. The burritos will be flowing. 7:15 first pitch, Brady Singer versus A.J. Smith, Shaw versus Cincinnati Reds taking on your Atlanta Braves. That's your John Foy big game of the night, presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys, get the strong arm. All right, the question is this, and you all know it by now. Maybe you're exhausted by it, but I don't think we've even reached that point yet. 100 men versus one gorilla, who would win in a fight? 100 men versus one gorilla. Now, I immediately said, if you threw 100 regular Joe Schmoes who are on their couch, unathletic, probably can't move too fast versus one gorilla, well, you might have a conversation. However, if you're able to handpick the 100 guys that you want to fight this gorilla at one time, it's not even a debate. Those guys would smoke that gorilla so fast. Chris Marler, my buddy, at Vern Funquist on X, he put together a list of 100 guys that would decimate this gorilla. Dump 100 guys on a gorilla at one time, Bo, people that I get to pick. It's no contest, dude. This is a 400-pound monkey. What are we even talking about? Rip its eyeballs out, suffocate it, you win.
But the question is average Joes, though.
If you average Joes?
100
like 100 apes?
Versus 100.
100 apes versus a gorilla? We might have a conversation.
Silverback gorilla? Yeah.
You don't think that gorilla's getting tired?
At some point, but, you know, he's going to off.
What does it do when it's tired?
Field.
I don't know.
When you get tired weightlifting, you can still lift 10 pounds.
There's too many semantics around the question.
Yeah, right.
That's the toughest part. Like, if you had 20 sets of five Abe Gordons walking in five at a time, like, that gorilla is going to have a field day,
like
I think.
8 minutes.
But if you threw 100 Abe Gordons at one time against the gorilla, like, I literally do think that it would be a close match.
But the 100 humans aren't going to be able to fight it all at one time. A lot of them are going to be standing back while watching the first 25 get absolutely ripped
apart. Do you know how weak a human becomes when he doesn't have his footing? And when you're climbing over the dead bodies of your fallen comrades, you've got no – I mean, for – again, I understand to hit it where it hurts and the eyes and the ear, like.
You got to go. You got to go.
You just.
How much are you going to want to go when you just saw person number seven get his head dismantled from his shoulders?
So here's what's funny to me.
It's a great conversation.
Here's what's funny to me. You probably have like a pre-fight meeting where you discuss, all right, the gorilla is going
to
be.
Like 50 of us have to go at once.
But
that's the only chance of success you have. Yes, we're going to lose.
You're
going to
have this idea of how much stronger the gorilla is going to be than you are, right? And then it's going to happen. And then like the first 20 are going to be dying thinking, it was so much stronger than even we thought it would
be. But it's a you know, it's not Bruce Lee. It's a gorilla. It's a monkey. Just run at it with 50 people.
And do
what? It's not some black belt, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu master.
He's got a wingspan of
just overwhelming.
He's got an 8.5-foot wingspan. You're not even getting close to the eyes. He's got
50 of us did it at one time.
He's double kicking the feet out.
Okay, here we go.
He's double kicking the feet out, and one or two guys are going to take. You see those stupid movies where like one guy falls down the stairs and takes out 10 of his guys coming up with him? It'd be like that. He'll throw one guy into eight guys.
You're giving the gorilla too much credit.
You're not giving.
I promise you.
A gorilla is potentially 18 times stronger than a full adult male.
Which is why we need 100
of us. 18 times. But I think the strength, the meter there isn't just like, oh, it's 18 times stronger, so 18 men could take it.
I also think the endurance factor of a gorilla versus a human is being way, way undersold. All right.
Gorillas, which way?
That grow. We're not giving the gorilla enough credit on strength and endurance.
Okay.
I don't think a gorilla is going to get very tired. I see all
the gorilla can't hang for 90 seconds.
You're going to be able to wear the gorilla down.
That hang test.
How fast could a gorilla run a mile? No, I agree. It's a fascinating conversation, and I'm not even joking one bit when I say if I pull up social media, all I see are gorillas now. I mean, it's the craziest thing ever.
I also don't think you could just like attack 100 or 50 people at once. Like, assuming the gorilla has any knowledge of like warfare tactics,
which of course it does not.
It might.
That's the whole point.
We don't know. You ever seen a gorilla fight?
Gorillas strategize when being attacked, like, or having to attack.
I just think it would move. Yeah. I think it would move. I don't think it would just sit there and let 100 humans circle it. I think it would move.
I mean, Abe,
and gorillas move at 20 miles an hour.
You just said the phrase warfare tactics.
That's right.
When talking
You're darn
about
right
a
I did.
Gorilla, a monkey.
Yeah.
And what's Hilarious. The map look like here? Are we in just a field? Do
you know,
we have trees?
Throw us into Zoo Atlanta. Like, let's go in their habitat.
Oh, my goodness. To hang?
The humans would stand no chance.
It gets to hang and kick people into water?
It gets to climb a tree and rest?
Oh, my goodness. I love it. All right, let's get on three strikes. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929, and kick off this Monday week in good ways. All right, we got Rich in Alpharetta. Rich, thanks for calling in, my friend. First question, you get to attend a Game 7. Which are you picking, Major League Baseball, the NBA, or the NHL?
Good morning, fellas. I'm going to go NBA, and I think I want to see OKC and the Cavs.
That'd be nice. That would be a great Game 7, no doubt about it. It's Cinco de Mayo. You got to choose one. You going tacos, a burrito, or a quesadilla?
Don't kill me. I'm taking the quesadilla. I don't know why. I just like quesadillas.
Hey, you know what? It's sneaky underrated. They pack everything in that tortilla. You get to throw it in your hand, dip it around. That's a good call. It's a good call.
Exactly.
How fast can you run 1 mile?
Well, I ran track my whole life. I'm still in pretty good shape, so around 6.5, maybe 7 minutes.
Wow. That's strong, Rich. That is very strong. Thanks for calling in. 404-726-0929. Abe. Tacos, burrito, or quesadilla?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I'm gonna go with tacos.
Really?
Yeah.
Tacos. Three of them, two of them? Usually come in threes, depending on where you're at.
Two orders of three, then.
You seem like a Taco Bell guy to me, is that?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at Taco Bell, I get tacos, burrito, and quesadilla.
Of course.
So it's a tough discussion.
It's called a value menu for a reason.
I like the dippability of the quesadilla.
Of course.
Because I'm a big sour cream on the quesadilla guy.
No doubt. Chris in Marietta. Chris, good morning, my friend. You get to attend a Game 7. What are you picking, baseball, basketball, or hockey?
It's not even close. It's NHL.
Yeah.
It's because of the atmosphere.
I totally agree. We were just watching some of those clips from that Avalanche Stars game. Sean McDonough on the call. I mean, that place was electric.
Sean
I would pick
McDonough.
The NHL as well. Cinco de Mayo, you going tacos, burrito, or quesadilla?
Tacos. That one's also not close.
Wow, not even close, huh?
No, man, we're talking tacos. Forget about burritos and quesadillas today. It's about tacos.
Are you drinking a cold beer with it? You going to burrito? What you sipping on with those tacos today?
No offense to Bo, but it's a cold beer with a cold lime squeezed into it.
Amen. After you eat those tacos and that cold beer, how fast are you running your mile?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, after that, it's probably like 8+, but I used to play college soccer. I used to get around 6 minutes, and I felt really good about myself.
Hey, I appreciate the call. College soccer players, those are definitely some of the most well-conditioned athletes all over the place, no doubt. Thanks for calling in, Chris. So what do you, if you really had to push it, Abe, how fast are you running your mile?
I think I can definitely go sub six.
That's very impressive.
Probably not by a ton, but I'll say like 5:54, 5:53.
Have you ever heard of the beer mile?
Of course.
Yeah, the beer mile where you get on a track and you drink one beer, run a lap.
Yeah.
Four beers, four laps.
Yeah.
That sounds tough.
It just depends how you handle the beer, not in terms of drinking it, but how it sits while you start running.
You know, a couple Mick Ultras.
You can train for it. There are guys that are doing it. The
times
that some of these guys are putting up, like sub five.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to attend a party in which there was a food truck, a taco truck, and I went against common knowledge and went with the quesadilla, and it was a great decision.
The thing about this taco burrito quesadilla discussion is you're probably not mad at any of the decisions you make. Like,
no.
There are great burritos out there. There are great quesadillas out there. There are great you're winning no matter where you go.
Yeah. It's the opposite of a catch 22.
Yeah.
It's just W's all around the chat.
It's win, win, win.
W, W, W. No doubt about it. If I had to run a mile right now,
when was the last time you ran?
You know, I'm a Peloton guy. I get on the bike. I don't know the last time I ran.
Peloton has like
definitely
a ranking.
Sub seven. I mean,
you think so?
Oh, yeah.
That's cooking.
Yeah.
That's cooking.
You're
in good shape, but yeah.
I'm going to be hurting afterwards, but I could definitely do it.
Yeah.
No question about it. So, look, it's going to be a great week here in Atlanta. If you have the opportunity to get down to the ballpark today, I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, it is spectacular outside. It really is. And it's been spectacular hanging with you this morning, Abe.
I've had fun. Not too many people yelled at me, which was a change.
I thought we were going to get people a little bit more fired up at your Michael Penix.
You want me to send you the comments I received over the weekend?
I don't need to make you relive it. It's okay. I trust you. As somebody who is so passionate about Atlanta sports, I mean, I respect your thought process on just saying, hold on, everybody. Let's just wait on Michael Penix a little bit. I get that. I'm just saying, based on what I've seen, he's definitely got what it takes to most certainly be a top 15 quarterback.
That's the key word. None of us are suggesting he doesn't have what it takes. I think he does.
Yeah.
But, man, three games is still just three games.
I'm very happy with the Falcons' draft selections. I thought they absolutely crushed it. It's obviously unfortunate, the extracurriculars that kind of took the attention off the actual draft picks, but my inside sources say you're not going to get a much better human being than Jalen Walker, aside from what he should be able to provide that Falcons defense. It's a fun time to be a Falcons fan.
I also like the very clear and obvious plan for Billy Bowman, and they kind of circled that guy, singled him out, and says, you see him as this, we see him as this, and we're going to build him as that. And I like that.
I like it. And look, when you got guys like Wes Durham and Dave Archer on these radio airwaves talking about how good these picks are and how they're going to be immediate additions to this Falcons defense, to me, that carries a lot of weight. It's been a fun Monday, a fun Cinco de Mayo right here on the Steakhouse. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Bo Morgan. I appreciate you.
Bo Johnson.
Jeez, I'm sorry. I keep saying Bo Morgan. Thank you, Bo Johnson. I appreciate you. The Bo-ritas will be flowing tonight. I have not had any yet, I promise you. Abe Gordon, thank you, brother.
It was fun, man. Hope to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning into the Steakhouse and making us a part of your day. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.